NerdsReviews.com presents Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Yo, we talk about lightsabers, stunning your TV screens, what you want to stream, everything beyond your dreams. Want to talk about movies, sports, or even politics? Go ahead and tune into us, we'll give you all of it. Whatever you debate, Xbox or PlayStation, Marvel or DC, Mac or PC. Teraflops when the movie drops, gigabytes, chips, RAM, no matter what it is, we got all of it. Welcome to the show.
Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Welcome to Nerds Talking,
the podcast.
Season 1, Episode 3.
I'm your host, Lafayette. I'm joined by Carlos.
Hey.
And Dennis.
Hey, what's up?
And we got some breaking news. We got picked up for Season 2.
Oh, shit.
I know. I was waiting for that. Yeah.
I know. And all right. Thanks to everybody that subscribes, downloads, unsubscribes, resubscribes, downloads again. Makes your parents listen to it, even though they don't want to. Do your best to share.
You know what that means?
Do we have subscribers? Do we have subscribers? Or?
Well, I subscribe, so.
Oh, I subscribe. That's three of us. Two of us. What are you drinking?
Dennis is drinking here.
I think Japanese green tea.
Ooh, what makes it special that it's Japanese?
It's not really. I mean, when we went to Japan, it's just it's one of the things that we drink. So.
Oh, okay, very good.
That's very good.
That's
I mean,
beautiful.
Is it when you drink an American green tea? What's the difference?
I think it has more flavor, like you know,
gotcha. Bolder. Konnichiwa.
Flavor all to right. it.
Like Wait, it. Which one is more bold, Japan or America? Choose your words wisely.
Actually, I don't know where the green tea, the one that's you know, because I know this one's from Japan because.
See how he's skirting the question.
Because it has Japanese
answer
writing
the question.
On.
No. I mean, when you know we went to Japan. I mean, the vending machines had these.
Ooh,
had this kind.
I like it.
The vending machines that. Also had Sapporo.
Sapporo.
Really? I remember the vending machine in my hotel had Sapporo.
Right. What's Sapporo?
Japanese beer.
Oh yeah. You know when I was thinking Sapporo. They had pizza.
And all right. Well, nobody's checking IDs.
Sapporo
for the vending machine. Buy it.
Fantastic. You've tuned into Nerds Talking, where we start the show off talking about drinks in Japanese vending machines.
We're recording.
Oh, very nice. All right. So today's episode of Nerds Talking, we're going to go through the Xbox Series X and S and the PS5 release, which is going to be this coming Tuesday. So hopefully you get your hands on one. We'll go through the launch games, give you guys some thoughts. If you should buy it right away, hold off, so on and so forth. That's on the docket. We got some movie reviews. And we might throw some other things in there. But first, we start off with gaming.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Let's
Interesting
go.
Topic.
That's right, Dennis. Last week, we covered cloud gaming, some PC gaming. This time, it's the big next-gen console releases coming out November 10th and I think the 12th. So PlayStation players got to wait 2 days to get their hands on a next gen console, but that's all right. You'll get one regardless. So Xbox Series X and S, we'll start off with those. Have you guys read about it? You guys are all cut up. It's almost like a quiz show between you two. Let's see what happens.
I want to hear your thought about it. I mean, I have mine, but
okay. So the Xbox Series, we'll start with the white one. Okay, little box, the S. All right, so the Series S. Carlos, give me your breakdown of the Series S.
It's all digital, smaller. I'm not really a fan of the all digital platform because I feel like I'm not really getting my money's worth in the game, because if I'm done playing the game, I want to be able to trade it in or sell it. I can't do that if it's digital. I'm stuck with it. And the only thing I can do is delete it.
Okay. Dennis, do you have a take on the Series S, the all digital Xbox?
Well, I have a take on both of them, but I mean, I can start. You want to start with
the S, buddy?
The S one? I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's really for people that just want convenience as far as gaming. I mean, it's probably for people like me that don't really go for, you know, hard copies and just want to download and just start playing for it. I mean, as soon as it comes out, I just want to play with it. I mean, it's really, that's pretty simple.
I mean, the Series S has a lot of negatives, in my opinion. It only has a 500 gigabyte hard drive, but only 360 gigabytes is usable. An average next gen game is going to be at least 70 gigabytes. Think about that. You're only going to get to put probably 6 games on your Series S before you have to buy an expandable hard drive for the, I think it's the SSD goes in the back of the S.
Yeah, 1 terabyte.
Right. Yep. And that, and you know, that's $229. So if you're going to buy a $300 system and then spend $229 to get extra space, just get the Series X because you're going to pay less for that one. And it's a much better system.
I think that's always the catch for a lot of technology, like, you know, like the devices nowadays, like, you know, Apple, iPhone and stuff like that. It's almost like they're kind of pulling you in and you have to pay a bit more just to get that extra storage options that they have. I mean, it's almost like they'll lure you in by starting you off with like a smaller price tag and then just start pulling in a bit more.
The thing about the Series S is it's meant for Xbox Game Pass, you know, that $15 monthly subscription. Download their library of games, play them all you want, delete them, add, delete and add, play, you know, that's what it's really for.
But can't you play Game Pass anyways, regardless of which model, you know?
It doesn't matter. You can play it on any Xbox. You can play it on a cell phone, a tablet.
So it's not really the allure of getting that machine. It's just more for, you know, if you just want to get away and just get a cheaper one. And if you're strictly just doing digital gaming, right? And not,
well, yeah, I mean, you can only do digital gaming,
right,
Carlos?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you guys pre-ordered it, right? I mean, so what's
not the S. The reason I didn't get the S is because it has all the great features of the X, meaning it's just as fast. Games load super fast, but they only, the highest they go to is 1440p, 30 frames per second. It goes 60 frames per second. And it can do 120 frames per second also. So it can do that as well. It has a slower GPU. So, you know, the resolution is not as good as the X by a good degree. Like I said, smaller hard drive, you got to spend more money on that. Like Carlos said, you have to buy only digital games. So you can't ever trade them in. Because just like when you get sports games, I mean, you typically buy them yearly. What are you going to do with the one you bought last year? You're never going to play it again. It's just a waste of space and $60 on your console. You can't walk up to GameStop and be like, hey, let me trade this in and get the new version of that game. Just, you're going to bring your Xbox with you and they somehow suck it off of there?
Well, that's kind of the same thing with you know, Game Pass and stuff like that. Like those subscription options and, you know, Stadia, where you buy everything electronically.
Well, but
there's really no return as far as...
On Stadia, you buy games on Stadia.
But right? Yeah, but you can't resell it.
Okay, it's all on digital. Game Pass, you don't buy games.
Right. It's just kind of the same thing. You're paying every month just to get the newer stuff. But you you never really own the game. You just basically...
Well, true.
Paying a monthly fee to have access to the games.
Yes, but...
So it's kind of the same model. If you think about it.
So on Stadia, don't you pay a monthly fee, but don't you also have to buy the game if you want it?
You can buy a game without having to pay for the fee.
For the subscription fee.
And you have access to that game forever.
So the difference...
Without subscription.
The difference is...
Stadia? Who owns Stadia?
I have Stadia.
Stadia is owned by Google, I think, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Google. So... Game Pass, if people don't know, Xbox Game Pass, you pay $15 a month. That also comes with your online subscription. So it's the duo combo. So
you get the gold.
You get the gold, $15 a month with all the games. It's like a 500 game library, ton of games to play. I mean, and you get EA Play starting November 10th for free. So you get all of Electronic Arts library also. So you get ton and ton. And that's really what the One S is made for. It's for the guy like Dennis saying, I don't really want to go out and buy games. You know what? I have a huge library just by having Game Pass. I have an endless amount of games I can choose from. I'll just, you know, delete this one and I can always reload a backup if I want it, or I can just buy a hard drive, so on and so forth.
And I had like Apple Arcade for a few months. I mean,
yeah,
I had a subscription for a few months. I mean, I downloaded crap load of games on the iPad.
Yeah.
Once I stopped that subscription,
yeah,
I don't have access to any more.
You know, yeah, exactly. Games. Exactly. So, the Series S is $299 here in the United States.
Just real quick. I mean, the Series S, the two pros that I see with it is the price, $299. I mean, it's $200 cheaper than the X. And the other pro is being able to not get up and change discs. You just change games because it's all digital.
Exactly.
So I don't have to get up off the couch because people like Dennis are too lazy to get up off the couch. So they want it all digital.
Well, I mean, it's not just, I mean, and also I can, you know, switch between different games without having to.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely a pro as well. But the biggest con is, like I said, like Lafayette had mentioned, if I get FIFA 21, like, and then I get FIFA 22 next year, I can at least trade in my 21 for at least $20. That takes $20 off my next purchase.
Yes.
So the difference is $100 between those two models.
$200.
That's still a pretty big difference. I mean,
yes.
If you think about it, right, you spend $60 on a game, which you'll eventually, I mean, hopefully you'll resell it for another $20 6 months or a year from now, right? So you're basically saving $200, but you're gaining $20 here and there, right, for the resale value of trading those games during the lifetime.
No, you're right. That's what I'm saying. So you're better off just buying the console we're going to talk about next, the Xbox Series X, which is the most powerful console you can purchase on the market. That one has 4K all the time, no matter what, in 60 frames per second. It does 120 frames per second. It loads games up to, probably 10 times faster than the current Xbox. I would say that if you're going to buy a system, that is the one to get on November 10th. If you can get your hands on it, it will be in stores November 10th, not just pre-orders, but it's probably going to be hard to find. And
probably
they will
be slim pickings.
Yeah, and they will have a lot of games to choose from on that day to play as well. But the upside to the Series X and the downside is a lot of games are getting free upgrades the same day, the 10th, to basically be next gen type of games where there's no exclusive games coming out on that day, such as PS5 does have one exclusive game, at least the new Spider-Man Miles Morales game coming out on their launch date. So, but the Series X is the way to go. You get a 1 terabyte hard drive inside the box. You get, you know, the 12 teraflops. If you guys don't know what teraflops are, have you guys read up on teraflops?
Teraflops?
Yep.
That's M. Night Shyamalan movies.
This is CPU.
Right?
It's the CPU, how much and how fast it can calculate. So, for instance, the Series S has 4 teraflops. The PS5 has 8 teraflops, and the Series X has 12.
PS5 has 10.3 teraflops.
10.3?
Yep.
Very nice. So, but again, there's plenty of games to choose from when it comes out. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you can get Destiny. I don't know if you guys played Devil May Cry 5, but it's getting a free upgrade, a big time upgrade.
You're talking about PS5 or you're talking about
I think
Xbox?
For these are for both systems. What I'm mentioning now, these are for both. Fortnite getting a massive upgrade, and cross-play generation between old consoles and new consoles. So that's interesting. They're also going to have NBA 2K21, Mortal Kombat 11. So all of these are getting upgrades. No Man's Sky. The Falconeer is an Xbox-only game, and that one's an interesting one because it is 120 frames per second straight out the gate. Sea of Thieves, Xbox-only get an upgrade. Star Wars Squadron is going to get an upgrade if you didn't pick that one up from Electronic Arts. Watch Dogs Legion, which is already out, is going to get a free upgrade. Yakuza, Like a Dragon, also getting a free upgrade. So plenty of games that are not exclusive to both systems are going to get the nice shiny polish that you get. But Series X, between the two Xbox versions, if you're going to spend the $229 to expand your hard drive anyway, just get the Series X. But
So when you say an upgrade, what does that mean? Like,
so an upgrade means, yeah. So if you buy, for instance, Assassin's Creed Valhalla for, let's say, the PlayStation Pro, and then you buy a PlayStation 5, you get a free upgrade. The game is going to be enhanced graphically, frame rate, everything to make it a next-gen game.
So it's like a remastered version more, of it?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. So, I mean, it looks, the way they're doing these next-gen upgrades, the games look night and day, like they're brand new games. Carlos saw something earlier from FIFA Soccer, and if you saw the current version of FIFA and what they're going to be upgrading it to, it's like you're getting a brand new game.
I mean, just to clarify, yeah, I mean, because there's a backwards compatibility, right, in terms of the older games.
So here's, that's a good question.
So there's a, and then you're saying the upgrade. So, I mean, kind of distinguish.
So the upgrade is only going to be for games that basically have come out, I would say, within the last, I would say, 4 to 5 months, if this, if the publisher decides to do that. So John Madden Football is getting an upgrade. FIFA Soccer, upgrade. If you pick up NBA 2K21 next gen version on the 10th and the 12th, that game looks amazing. It's only for next gen. They did not make that for any other console. So that's a, that is purely a next gen game. And you can see by the graphics that it is taking up the power of the, you know, the systems, the hardware, and you can truly see what a next gen game looks like. And if you have Gears of War 5, that thing is going to look amazing on the Series X. I mean, it plays at 60 frames per second, 4K, 120 frames per second online when you play P versus P. I'm telling you right now, the next-gen consoles are the way to go, and PS5 is next. So, Carlos, fill us in on the PS5.
I have no idea about the PS5.
All right. Who makes
I'm
it?
I'm kidding.
All right.
PS5 comes out 2 days later. It comes out on the 12th. And that also has an all-digital version, which is $399. And the regular box with the disk drive is $499.
There you go. And the upside to the digital version of the PlayStation is it has no downgrade in the hardware. It is the exact same as the disk version. You're just not going to have a disk player in it. But there's a downside to the hard drive. You only get a total of 629 usable gigs of the hard drive space.
Right, out of 825 gigabytes.
Yeah, I don't know, understand why they put a smaller hard drive in it. It just makes no sense. And the other downside, there is no expandable hard drive available for the PlayStation when it comes out, and they said it won't be till a later date unannounced.
Doesn't make any sense.
Is that the latest news?
It's a bad move.
Yeah, they announced that today. And it doesn't work on 1444 monitors. I think it's 1440 or what, you know, which monitors I'm talking about.
1440, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't put it on those monitors at all. It won't recognize it. I don't know why they did that either. It doesn't make any sense.
Because the 4K and 8K options are...
Well, that's just it. The Xbox Series X does every... It does 1080, 1440. It does 8K, 4K. Elemental P, doesn't matter what it is. That's why people, you know, right now reviewing the systems are saying that Series X is the most powerful system because it doesn't have any drawbacks when it comes to the power of it. I was kind of confused why PlayStation did that, but it's going to be a good system.
Well, anyway. I mean, it's worth noting too that it's not really about all the hardware either. I mean, a lot of, at some point, they're probably going to come up with a software upgrade that's going to allow them to support, you know, a lot of these different, you know, different resolutions and.
Oh, and that's a good point. The reason why there's no expandable hard drive yet, because they said the software does not allow it at the moment, and they're working on a upgrade to allow expandable hard drives.
I mean, my biggest takeaway with both these systems, I mean, Xbox and PS5, even though, you know, the 12 teraflops versus 10.3 teraflops, right? 52 control unit versus, what, 36 for PS5. I mean, it seems like they're kind of going by numbers, although I think the specs are very negligible because the software is really what's, ultimately what's going to be based on how it's going to perform, right? I mean, hardware, you know, it's good. It's great for marketing. It just depends on how they write the software to basically support the hardware that's underlying hardware that it has to support.
I mean, it's
the
true.
Faster
games. It's going to come down to the publisher of any game and how they basically use that engine to create their game. You
right.
know?
And the 4K and 8K support Blu-ray. I mean, who watches Blu-ray? And, you know,
like, well, I mean, that's another thing too. And 8K support, that's like you said, marketing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
you're not going to get that 8K. Games aren't going to be made in 8K, at least not for years to come. Yeah.
And, you know, Blu-ray, I mean, how many people actually does still play?
That's a good question. When is the last time you put a Blu-ray disc into your console? Carlos, go first.
I don't use my console for videos or for watching movies. I always separate the two. I have a separate Blu-ray driver. If I didn't want to mess up the drive. You know, I didn't want to risk messing up the drive.
And essentially, they're selling me $200 for $200 more. I mean, they're essentially selling me a Blu-ray player, right? And ability to you know, have hard disk copy, which I can resell in the future, which is all good and, you know, a benefit. But during the lifetime of you know, owning that device, how many times you're gonna sell it and, you know, the sell it and reselling and, you know, all that cycle. You know, between the different cycles, are you really going to gain $200 worth of cost during the lifetime?
I know what you mean. Yeah. And you're not wrong, because I own the Xbox One X. I've probably bought a good, I'd say 30 games for it over its lifespan. And I maybe only traded in like 8 games and held on to the rest that primarily got sold on eBay. But see, that's the thing. I made a lot more money on eBay selling my games than I did trading them in. And that's a good thing about buying your games physically, because trading it in is not your only option. You can also sell them on the internet.
That's a good point. I mean, not everyone's going to be doing that. I mean,
true. But if you find a gullible person walking down the street, throw a bag of games at them, take their wallet and tell them deal, and then run away.
Ask Dennis about that. He has a pile of PS4 games sitting in his garage right now, to the right on the floor.
All right.
And that's the thing. That's why, you know, I owned the PS4, right? And I own several copies of the games, and I still do buy games. But, you know, I prefer the digital copies, because, you know, I don't have to. I can just scroll through all my games that I own. I can just, you know, flip through them and just kind of like, okay, I want to play that one today. And I don't have to worry about, you know, going through the different catalogs of, you know, hard disk and having to flip through them. And
And that's where Xbox comes into play, which we haven't heard anything else about this for the PlayStation 5. But if you do own an Xbox and you have a bunch of digital games on your system, you can flip through them really fast. If you're just like, I'm bored of this one, let me start playing this one. It'll load that game right where you left off last in about 5 seconds. You don't have to worry about waiting for load times. It knows exactly where you were when you were playing Gears of War. Oh, I want to play Halo. It's going to just pick up right where you left off all the time. That's a great feature. But that is only if you have a digital copy of those games. So for myself, if I want to play NBA 2K and then play FIFA, I still have to get up off the sofa and get my daily physical activity in and switch the game out. So, but watch out for next gen consoles coming November 10th for the Xbox. And
are there any games that you guys pre-ordered along with your console?
I don't know. Carlos did though. Carlos, you pre-order games?
I did not. What did you pre-order?
I got Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I have Cyberpunk, which got pushed back to December, but that's okay. That game looks like it's going to be amazing. I have NBA 2K Next Gen. I swear I have some other one, and it's just not coming to me. But I will definitely be playing Gears of War 5 as it's getting a massive optimization. Those are what I got for the Xbox. And like I said, for the PlayStation, the only game that they coming out with on launch day that I'm aware of is going to be Spider-Man Miles Morales. And I think the Spider-Man remaster from the PS4.
Are the games that you mentioned exclusive to Xbox, or is that something that...
No, the only exclusive games to Xbox coming out that day are Gears Tactics, which is Gears of War, but more of a turn-based style game, which looks really cool. That's pretty much it. All their games that are coming out for exclusive are next year. Microsoft went out and bought like 28 game studios. They're basically trying to tell Sony, you have about five good games every year that are just the same game, but sequel after sequel. Well, we have 28 studios working on all new games. So let's see what happens.
And I think that's one of the downside of Xbox at this point is the availability of games on launch, right? Like they have limited as far as the exclusive games that they're going to be launching.
Yeah. And
console comes out.
They've always had that
PS5 problem. PS5 has an upper hand in comes to the games, right? At this point.
Yeah. And that's always been a thing for Microsoft. They've never had great launch day games that made you really excited for the games as much as you are for the console.
So tell me this. So it's just a matter, do you think that the allure of getting Xbox at this point is just to get your hands on it without really having some sort of, you know, because if you're going to have any exclusive games to play, what's the allure of getting it right now versus waiting like, you know, 5 months when the actual games, exclusive games comes out and, you know, become available to
everyone? I don't think it's about exclusivity. I mean, if you waited for that, then I mean, when would you actually wait to buy a console when there was just an exclusive game?
So I'm just saying, why would you get it now versus later? Like if you can't get anything that's...
The reason why I'm getting it now is because I want to play the games they are releasing on the console when it comes out, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, NBA 2K Basketball. There's Yakuza, which is an Xbox exclusive. Looks pretty cool. Watchdog Legions. There's a lot of games that are going to be next gen. They're just not exclusives. You know what I mean? And you can play them on the current gen consoles, sure. But I don't want a 2-minute load screen every time I play the game in between missions. I don't want a slow system. I don't want games that aren't 60 frames per second. I want 4K, 60 frames per second, no load times. I want what next gen is giving me. People think next gen just means exclusives or graphics. But to me, the thing that really gets me excited besides the graphics, because that's a give me, are the load times. This thing has next to no load times, which is amazing.
Sure, but you know, I guess my point being is, if you're coming into the market, right, as a consumer and trying to get into the Xbox and in the console, and you have two systems that you can pick with, why would you go for someone at Xbox that doesn't have the exclusive titles yet, when you can go for something like PS5, where you have, Spider-Man, Resident Evil, you know, a lot of the exclusive games coming out already, right?
Well, Spider-Man's already out though, so why bother getting PS5?
For PS5. The Miles Morales?
No, but it's, from what I understand, it's not as good a game as the Spider-Man game that's out now.
Right, but I mean, if you're a person that doesn't have any sort of, if you're kind of, you know, just looking for a console that's kind of your first console, trying to get into the console.
Right, right. So if you've never owned a console and you're trying to pick one or the other.
What's the allure of getting an Xbox versus over a PS5 at this point when you don't have something that's exclusive to that system? You know, I mean, I get that you guys have an Xbox already. You own the previous generations, right? But how about those people that doesn't have any previous consoles like PS4 or
well, that's Xbox. Just it. So people that don't have previous consoles aren't necessarily going to be drawn to exclusives that much. They're going to want to play titles that they're aware of, like maybe Red Dead Redemption 2 or even Grand Theft Auto 5. Those type of games that they probably have never played before. The thing about exclusives, which are great, because I had both PS4 Pro and Xbox One X, is that, yeah, you get to only play them on one particular console. But the problem is, when I beat Spider-Man in 3 days, Spider-Man never got played again. Spider-Man just sat there. When I beat God of War in a week, God of War was useless to me after that. It was fun to play at first, and then I was done. And the problem with a lot of PlayStation games that are exclusives is that they're one player linear stories with no online replay value. You're just done with it. So they can, you know, when you always hear, oh, we got the best exclusives for PlayStation. Well, you get the best 10 hours of gameplay for that week, and then I'm done. Then I can shelf it and go back to the game that came out on both consoles, like Assassin's Creed or a Watch Dog or a FIFA Soccer. So when people always talk about Xbox doesn't have exclusives, I don't have an Xbox because they make Halo. I already played Halo enough on the old Xboxes. I'm done with it. I play everything else. I know. I mean, that's the thing about exclusives. They're fun to play, you know, when they come out, but then when you're done with them. They have no more replay value. That makes sense.
Well, that goes back to my previous statement about why would someone prefer Xbox over PS5 when there's nothing that's really gonna, you know, allure you from going one over the other.
Well, my thing about these two systems is if someone was to ask me which one to pick, I would just say pick the Xbox due to it's more powerful. Publishers will get more out of the Xbox when they're making their games. And there's just more options in the sense of expandable hard drive. It's RDNA 2, where PlayStation's only RDNA 1. So when they do upgrades to the graphic chips or cards and so on and so forth, Xbox would have the upper hand. There's just there is a difference in the power of those systems. And definitely the Xbox has an upper hand in the power of the system. What Xbox has that PlayStation primarily doesn't have is Game Pass. That's the big thing they have. And the fact that Electronic Arts is basically going, you know what? You can give all our games away for free too on Game Pass. That's fine. So now you can play all of Electronic Arts catalog, all of the Microsoft catalog, and they get way other games. They get so many more games that other publishers just throw on the Game Pass, like Red Dead Redemption 2 and Star Wars. The new Star Wars games are going on there. That's to me the big. If you own an Xbox and you don't own Game Pass, there's something wrong. You should own Game Pass. Because when that new Halo comes out, when that new Gears of War comes out, when that new whatever it is they're going to make, their 28 studios they're going to make, it's free for you on day one. You don't pay that $60.
And that's $10, right? That's $10.
Yes, $10 a month to get thousands of dollars of free.
Not a bad deal.
Exactly. And that's kind of what their upper hand is. It's Game Pass.
Yeah. So, I have to agree with that. I think that's really the main advantage at this point.
I won. Yes, good.
Well, the reason that I have an Xbox, because I used to have a PlayStation when it first came out, the reason that I have an Xbox now is because the people that I continue to play online with, they still have Xbox. So it's part of the reason I continue to buy the Xbox, not only because I like the Xbox and the games that it offers, but then, you know, I want to continue playing with the people that I enjoy playing with. You know, if I switch consoles then and they don't, well, then there's something else that I can't do anymore, you know?
And that's one of the problems that, you know, all these different consoles have at this point is the social aspect of it. They have, like we talked about earlier this week, they have, you know, different ways of socializing with people. They have different platforms. PlayStation has its own social, you know, network. You know, Xbox is its own. It doesn't have that united front where, you know, a PlayStation gamer can talk with, like, you know, an Xbox. You know, when you're playing something like, you know, something that you can socialize with online, and it doesn't have that same.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's go over that. I'll let you know what games have cross-generation play and which games have cross-platform play. So, cross-generation, meaning you can play somebody on an Xbox One and against somebody on the Xbox Series version. It's a pretty long list. It's almost every game they make. But if you want to play against somebody on a PlayStation and somebody on an Xbox, vice versa, Fortnite offers that. The new Call of Duty is going to offer that. If I look on the list here, those are primarily the only ones at the moment. I heard that
NBA... You're talking about the Warzone? You're talking about the Warzone
Call of Duty? Yeah, the one coming out, yeah.
Oh, coming out or the one that exists?
No, the one coming out, which is called Cold War.
Okay.
I think Warzone, doesn't that also have cross-platform
as well?
Yeah, I think so as well. So you got those. And then if we move on to next gen, Nintendo Switch.
Boo.
All right, there we go. We got enough of that one. All right, so there you go. November 10th and the 12th. So November 10th, pick up your Xbox Series S or X if you can get your hands on it. November 12th, pick yourself up a PS5. They're both $499 for the high-end versions, $399 for the digital PlayStation, and $299 for the digital Xbox. Big next-gen consoles. So we'll be right back after this. Nerds Talking, the podcast. Welcome back to Nerds Talking, the podcast. Sponsored by...
This is Sticker.
There we go. I'll fill in the blank later. All right, fellas. So this week's reviews, viewing choices were Bill and Ted Face the Music and Love in Monsters. So we're going to review Bill and Ted Face the Music first. Let's start off with Dennis.
I think it's stupid. I think it was a stupid movie.
No.
I don't like it one bit. I don't like to watch that movie. It's a waste of time.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Did you watch the first two original ones?
No.
No.
It's not. Okay. So it's not the kind of movie that, I mean, I like these kind of movies, but it's not something that I really like. Oh, I want to watch that today. But, you know, it's one of those movies I can just like turn on and just like fall asleep and just like, you know,
I can tell you this though.
There's,
if you haven't seen the first two, there's a disconnect.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
There's a disconnect of kind of wondering why they're in the situation they're put in and so forth. But give me your review. You got 60 seconds or let's go.
So I like Keanu Reeves, but I don't think he fits this type of roles in this kind of movies. It's not something that he should be doing, in my opinion.
All right.
Well, what's concept, the concept of the time traveling and and I think that's that was a pretty cool part of the movie, like, you know, getting all the different artists and from the past, and I think that was a cool, but the acting wise, I mean, I think it was just kind of like, it just doesn't have a lot of like energy, doesn't have like a lot of, you know, the characters didn't really have sort of life into them.
Didn't do it for you.
No.
Yeah, it just didn't. It wasn't cohesive. I mean, the there was no, you know, the storyline doesn't. Yeah, it just.
So, what was your rating?
I give it a one.
Ooh, a 1 out of 5.
I mean, that's the minimum, right? I mean, I think it'll go lower.
To give him a star, give it a zero if you want.
No, you can't give it a zero.
Sure you can. You can give it a
bottle. What is the lowest?
One for putting me to sleep.
Oh, so it's a good. Oh, so it's like taking an Ambien.
It works. What, a half star?
Melatonin. Wow. Okay, Carlos, you're Bill and Ted.
Face the Music.
Ooh.
All right. It was all right. I mean, it was entertaining, I guess. But it's, you know, it's just the exact same plot as the first two. I mean, it's when the daughters this time went back in time and grabbed all these different people in history. But I really didn't like how the daughters were the exact same persona as their fathers. It's almost as if they were single fathers, right? Because when you have a kid, they're not going to be an exact spitting image of you. Stop doing that. You're not going to be an exact spitting image of just one parent. Unless it's a single parent, right? Anyway, I would give it a 2.5.
I'd give it a two and a half.
It was entertaining, but not something I'd want to watch again.
Yeah, no, not right. I do think you do have to watch the first two to understand the third one, because they all do go together.
Yes.
But the problem with me was the same problem that you had. The daughters were so badly written. Why are they spitting images of the fathers? That made no sense. They don't have any traits of their mothers. That didn't even, and the plot is exactly the same. Dennis, you didn't see the first one, but the first one, they had to go collect famous people in history to pass their history class. So they go get Napoleon, I think Abraham Lincoln, and so forth. The second one, they went around and collected musicians to create the greatest song in the world to unite the world. Guess what? Same plot as this movie. No different than the third one. Let's go around, collect musicians to make the greatest song in the world to bring the world together. Blah, blah, blah. I give it a 2.5. I thought Keanu Reeves, and I don't know the other actor's name because he's actually never done anything else besides Bill and Ted's. He was good. The daughters were horribly portrayed. The effects were decent. When they did the jail cell scene, when they were all ripped and, you know, super freaking yoked, that was kind of funny.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. So yeah, 2.5. I mean, it's not bad. If you've seen the first two, it's worth a watch. If you haven't seen any of them, either watch the first two or don't watch this one at all. That's my advice. So 2.5. We have a 1 on the board, a 2.5, and a 2.5, which brings it down to a 2 out of 5 from nerdsreviews.com. That's a podcast exclusive. We don't have that on our website. So 2 out of 5 for Bill and Ted Face the Music. All right, we'll be right back after this with another review at Nerds Talking, the podcast.
Yay.
Welcome back to Nerds Talking, the podcast. As we last left, Dennis was talking about how he didn't like Bill and Ted Face the Music. He didn't quite get it, but he didn't watch the first two, and he said that was only worthy of a 1. Carlos said it was worthy of 2.5. So we have another review. It's Love and Monsters here on Nerds Talking. All right, Nerds Talking, review of Love and Monsters. Let's start with Carlos and your take on Nerds Talking. What's your review on Nerds Talking? What's your review on Love and Monsters?
Love and Monsters, that was it was refreshing. It was something different from the whole apocalyptic world. I enjoyed that one, actually. Dylan O'Brien is the lead. I do believe he was also the lead in American Assassin, and that was absolutely horrible. So I liked him in this one.
Assassin, because he was the lead in Maze Runner, all three of them.
Oh, he was. Oh, Maze Runner. Oh, gotcha. Was he? He was American Assassin. Yeah, that was horrible. The book is much better. Oh, but anyway, let's get off that. Love and Monsters. Yeah, absolutely. That was a good, fun film. Yeah, so if you get a chance to check it out, it's streaming now, right? It's up, you can rent it. It's on demand, stream on demand. I'll definitely check it out because it's original take from the apocalyptic world. There's one part where the main character, Joel, he leaves his colony and he meets two other people. At that point, the film kind of reminded me of like Zombieland, just because how everybody just kind of together and just trying to survive. Had a little bit of Zombieland vibe to it, but without the zombies. But I enjoyed it. I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5.
All right. Oh. Dennis, what do you give Love and Monsters?
Surprise. No, I mean, it was great. I mean, it has all the different ingredients that makes a great movie. The romance, the comedy, suspense, a little bit of, thriller kind of involved in it. Kind of like, you know, in the beginning when he froze in front of the monster. I think that was a pretty cool scene when it's kind of like an alien right in front of him, and then he just froze and someone shot the monster in front of him. I think that was a pretty cool scene. The mood of the film, I really like. It's a well-produced film, and it has a great storyline, I think. Very fun. There's, you know, imaginative. There's some special effects in there, but it's not overdone. It's pretty balanced as far as getting, you know, special effects. And I think it's worth paying for. I mean, if you haven't watched it yet, and you said it's on demand, so I think it's something that, you know, definitely it's worth paying for at this point.
And what's your rating?
I give it a 3.5.
3.5. Wait, so we got 2 3.5s on the board?
I would definitely watch it again, just to kind of go back and just kind of, you know, just, you know, just understand more of the story a little bit more, and you know it's definitely something I can see myself like watching again.
Yeah, no, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I like the story plot, even though it's almost a zombie plot. but I really like the twist on the whole apocalypse thing. It's well acted, has great CGI effects, has a great pace. That's what I thought was the best thing about the movie. It never felt boring. It just kept going and going in a good direction. Even the end, the twist on the end, which you knew I kind of felt was coming. But the twist with the boat captain, that was well done. But I give it a 4 out of 5, I think, on the website, because I really enjoyed it. It was very good because I did not know what to expect out of it. So 4 out of 5. So we have a 3 out of 5. Carlos, you gave it a 3 out of 5 as well?
I did.
Oh, we had 2 3 out of 5s and a 4. That's an average of 5.
No.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Math is not your strong suit.
Well, from Nevada. Don't know how to count ballots. All right. Here we go, people. So that's it for our movie reviews. Right after this, we're going to give you some recommendations for our streaming services. We'll be right back to Nerds Talking the Podcast. Welcome back to Nerds Talking the Podcast. We have Carlos, Dennis, and myself, Lafayette. Let's talk about our Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple Plus, Everything Plus recommendations. Dennis, give me your recommendations and maybe what to avoid on any streaming service.
And to kind of keep it, I'm going to recommend, and I have 3 recommendations for three different platforms. Have you guys seen The Boys on Amazon Prime? The Boys? It's a superhero.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
TV show. That's a really good one, I think. I started watching today. It looks pretty good. Netflix, Myth and Monsters. Have you guys seen that one?
What is it?
Myth and Monsters. It's on Netflix.
Oh.
It's pretty cool. It's very a bit more educational. And the third one is, it's a little bit outdated at this point. It's maybe a few months old. It's Onward on Disney. It's a really good flicks. And I also watched SpongeBob today on Netflix. My son likes it.
So on Netflix?
Just going to put it out there. Yeah,
new movie?
SpongeBob.
It is SpongeBob Sponge on the Run.
But is that on Netflix?
So it's on Netflix in the UK. In the United States, it'll be on CBS All Access starting in like 2 months. But it is going to be a review up on our website tomorrow. So check it out.
SpongeBob. Did you watch it already?
I did watch it already. Cool. Yeah. Carlos, give me your recommendations.
For this week, I got one that for guys my age, it's pretty nostalgic. I enjoyed it a lot. If you haven't seen it yet, check out Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is excellent if you're a Karate Kid fan. And the new season's coming out January, I believe, and they've already, from what I understand, started filming season 4. So already 2 seasons in, third one's coming in January. And then this one actually took a while to get into, but I recommend it on Amazon Prime. Is the Fabulous Mrs. Maisel? Is that what it's called? I think so.
Fabulous Miss Maisel.
Yeah, it's it. Yeah. It actually took me 2 seasons to get into it. Season 1, I mean, Lafayette, you had recommended it to me a while ago.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Season 1 just didn't really do it, but I stuck with it. Season 2 is much better. Much, much better. Abe and Rose are just too funny. They're just funny, funny. And my last recommendation is also on Amazon Prime. If you haven't seen it yet, it's only 2 seasons so far. I'm hoping there's a third, which is Jack Ryan. Check out
Jack Ryan. Oh, that one's good. I almost forgot about that one.
Yeah.
You know what you forgot to mention? Oh,
you forgot something, sucker.
Mandalorian 2.
Oh.
I already recommended that in our first episode. So,
well, it did start again. So everybody catch Mandalorian season 2 every Friday on Disney Plus. My recommendations for this week are Rick and Morty season 4 on Hulu, uncensored. Fantastic. Oh. Check that out. I love Rick and Morty and Grey's Anatomy. Just Grey's Anatomy. Just watch Grey's Anatomy. Doesn't even matter what I say. Just watch Grey's Anatomy. That's all I got. I got Grey's Anatomy because I've been watching it since day one and love it. Watch on Netflix, Lenox Hill. It's actually a hospital show. It's not like a TV show like Grey's Anatomy. It's an actual like people being followed around the hospital, brain surgeons. Removing brain tumors, cancerous brain tumors, and they show all the real surgeries. Oh, I love watching that crap. It's fantastic. Cut brains open and take out big fat tumors and tell them you have 6 months left. I love it. Lenox Hill on Netflix, Rick and Morty season 4 on Hulu, and Grey's Anatomy every Thursday on ABC at 9 p.m. Also on Hulu. Watch from season 1. It's
fantastic. And that show is still going?
Hey, you should shut your mouth. McDreamy's dead.
Man. That's just...
God damn it. He's dead. You know, that's the thing. If you're a TV doctor, you never want to work at Grey Sloan Hospital. You're going to die. You need to retire
that garbage.
You say you're
You need to retire your garbage. Okay? Yeah, you die. I mean, a lot of doctors die on that show. A lot. And they don't die in a medical way. Get hit by a car, catch on fire, get shot at the hospital. You get pretty jacked up if you work at Grey Sloan Hospital.
If you're going to talk about... doctor, you know, type of medical type of TV shows, I think the good one is The Good Doctor. I don't know if you've seen that one.
You know what? Real quick, everybody only gets to pick one. Only one. What's the best doctor show ever made?
House.
Oh, House. He's the best one right off the bat. Wow.
What are you going to say now?
Scrubs. I like Scrubs.
Well, are you going to pick Nurse next?
Children's Hospital. Nurse.
Children's Hospital. Yeah, wait, oh, hospital. Wait. Is that that's an adult film swim one? Yeah. Crazy ass one? Oh, my God. That's a crazy ass show.
Or are you going to go with the Doogie Howser?
Oh,
Doogie. No, not Doogie.
I thought you were going to.
You know what show I loved watching was ER. I loved ER. I watched the shit out of ER. But House is so good. Oh, my God. House, I never missed House. It ended like shit.
That ending was pretty good.
You like the ending of House?
I mean, I don't like it ending, but you know, it's a pretty good
twist. What's good about House is the fact that he could never figure something out, and something very small would like set him off, and he would figure it out. Like he could be watching like a TV show about, you know, a kid show, and something that a kid says like, "Wait, that's what it is," and he'd get up and go figure it out. You're like, "Oh, goddamn genius!"
House when we need him, figure out this Corona stuff.
I mean, the good thing about House was, you know, it wasn't just, the first season was sort of predictable, right? And it had that sort of, you know, the ingredients, the plot. And then the second and, you know, towards the end, it kept changing it and, you know,
it's a good show. Yeah, it's a great show. So everybody watch House. It's on Hulu, I think. It's a very good show. Watch Carlos's recommended TV show, Cobra Kai, if you like 80s nostalgia. It's a really good show. And then watch, if you have a little bit of spare time, Grey's Anatomy. All right, everyone, that's Nerds Talking. Get yourself a next-gen console. Watch Love and Monsters. Skip Bill and Ted.
No.
No to what, Dennis? What are we talking about?
I love my Switch.
You love a Nintendo Switch for the win. I love
my Switch.
Because it's a mobile device. Game Boy. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, Nerds Talking.
Tune in next week, going to cover Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Following week, American Soccer.
Gotcha. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Nerds Talking this week. We'll see you next week. Just remember, subscribe, listen, download, tell a friend. And if all else fails, Grey's Anatomy's on Hulu. See you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
See ya.